Happy Sabbath to everyone. And I have a belated joy. Dottie is visiting with us this Sabbath. Our scripture reading today is Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else.
Good morning. How was your week? Not much of a response there. How was your week? Was your week that bad? Welcome all our visitors. If you're newly visiting, raise your hand so we'll know. Stay for lunch. Good. You can smell lunch as cooking. I'll have you out in time for lunch, no problem. Unless I really get inspired, then we'll be here for a lot longer. I haven't done that in a while, but okay, here we go. Ready? Perfect. So I want to preach a little bit before I start preaching. I'm not going to tell you where I'm preaching from. I'm just going to preach. You'll recognize some of it already because you've heard a verse. Question is, are you ready? Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that have escaped the nations. And if it could be said about anyone, it's America. We have all escaped the nations. We have come from literally around the globe. Amen?
Amen.
People from all over are now, and even here in Brookings. Come near, assemble yourselves, ye that have escaped the nations. Those nations have no knowledge when they have set up wood and other graven images that cannot understand or see. These people pray to a God, one that they cannot even serve. Tell me, you that have come near, let you all take counsel amongst yourselves and discuss amongst yourselves. Who has declared this message from ancient time? Who? Who started it? Who declared it? Whom does it belong to? What is this message? Have not I, the Lord, begun this? Have not I, the Lord, explained it? Who has told it from ancient times? Haven't I, saith the Lord? Haven't I been the one that have told you? There is no other God besides me. There is no one. There is none beside me, period. He is the only one. Why do I say that? Why do I emphasize that? Who else died for you? No one. No other God in all of religion on this planet died for you, save Jesus. Not a one. And I'm going to do the best I can to leave you with a thought of why he did that. And that's what the sermon's about today. And if it's your time to hear, and if it's your time to understand and get the point, you'll get it. If it's not, don't worry about it. Maybe you'll get it later. How many times have we been to church? How many sermons have we heard where we leave and we say, what? I've preached a number of them. People walking out going, great sermon. Didn't understand it, but great sermon. It's the Holy Spirit that has to interpret. It's the Holy Spirit that has to bring these truths to our minds. He's the only one that can do it. So let's have a quick prayer. Father, I'm undeserving to understand who you are, but yet you've seen fit to touch my life with your great sacrifice, and I want to thank you for that. So I'm praying, Father, for not only myself, but anyone that wants to hear, may they hear through the power of your Holy Spirit, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. About 700 years before the crucifixion, the prophet Isaiah, in the second half of chapter 45, has a vision of God's sacrifice. And in this vision, Isaiah sees salvation for all mankind, everyone. If you want to turn there, Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22. You've already heard verse 20 and 21. That's what I started with. But now we're going to focus in on verse 22. Look. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no one else. Thank you for that on the screen. Cut. My friends, my dear friends here in this church, this is a very simple, straightforward text. Looking doesn't take much effort. It's not like lifting your foot or your finger. Looking is not like doing push-ups or sit-ups or weightlifting or jogging. Looking is the easiest thing that a person can do. So let's have the text back up on the screen again. Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me and be ye saved. Let's stop there. Look unto me and be ye saved. Cut. The text says, look. The text does not say, go to college and learn to look. I may be the biggest fool. I may be the biggest fool, yet, I can look. I could be a smart man, the most intelligent in the world, and yet, I can look. I could be a rich person, I could be a poor person, and still, I can look. Now follow me closely. Anyone can look. Any gender can look, natural or otherwise. Are you following what I'm saying? Any gender can look. Any race can look. You know what? Even a child can look. All you need to look is the eye. All you need is a mental want to. Does everybody know what a want to is? Do you have a want to? Is your want to broken? Is your want to working? My question to you this morning is, does your want to work? If your want to works and it's not broken, then all that's required is to be willing. Looking is free. I got one amen right here. Looking is free. Now, I could go on for hours. Looking isn't fattening. Looking really isn't a problem. It requires, and even if you cannot see, looking can be accomplished through the mind's eye. Looking is habit forming. Looking, I want to suggest to you, is the only solution. Looking is the only solution. Now, I'm not an old man yet. I'm told that my age is the new 40. I hear some coughing on the left-hand side up in front, my left-hand side. Some coughing over the 80, Jim, is the new 55. I'm not an old man. I'm growing old, and I can tell. Older. But I can tell you, since the age of 22, when I accepted this message, that looking is the only solution. So that's a few years of experience of looking. Now, I can't convince you of that. Only who? The Holy Spirit. Only Jesus. Only God. The three of them in one can tell you looking is the only answer. He's the only one. Thank you, and you're exactly right. I didn't want to overburden the people with scriptures, but you're right. By beholding, once a preacher, always a preacher, Jim. By beholding, Jim's our in-house preacher, retired but beloved, along with his wife, Pat, who never seems to give up. Amen. Good, that was good. Well, preacher, you say, that's too simple. This is 2018. Looking's too simple. We have science, we have technology, we have psychology, we have astronomy, we have historical data. But the preacher says, that's all well and good in 2018, if I can be so arrogant. That's all well and good in 2018. But let me tell you something. All of the osophies and earthly knowledge has ever saved the separated, sin-sick soul. Anyone want to challenge that? Because you know it's true. All of the osophies, all of the historical data, all the knowledge on the planet has never saved the separated individual from God who is experiencing the sin-sick soul. Never. Has never and will ever. Only Jesus in him alone. In fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Wow. My friends, my dear friends, my fellow church members, this is a very simple, straightforward text given by the gospel prophet Isaiah. Look unto me and be ye saved. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there's nobody else. Wow. Now we're going to take a break. We're going to do a side note. We're going to come back to the sermon, but we got to have a side note because it's worth looking at. And here's that side note. Are you ready for a side note? Some people are eager. They're like, yeah, let's break from that last and let's do a side note. This is a good side note. Some of you diligent Bible students have already made the Isaiah-Moses connection. How many of you have already made that in your mind? Jim, I know you have. Doug and Linda have. Anybody else? My wife's waving. She has. Anybody else made the Moses-Isaiah connection? You that have raised your hands already know that we have a real life situation that was recorded for our benefit that makes our point today. And it makes it really well. So if what I'm saying doesn't come across or doesn't make any sense, we have a real life situation. Moses makes it. So I want to paraphrase. You ready for a paraphrase? I'm going to paraphrase a couple of chapters in like a paragraph. Are you ready? As the children of Jacob, also known as the children of who? Israel. Why? Because Jacob's name was changed. Jacob means the deceiver, supplanter. Jacob was kind of devious, but God changed his name in a wrestling match. How many of you remember that? To Israel, which means what? Overcomer? Anything else? There's a different flavor. What is it? Victorious overcomer. And it also means prince with God. So here's Jacob wrestling with Jesus, because Jesus is the Word made flesh. You with me? Here's Jacob wrestling with Jesus, and Jacob says, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. And Jesus is like, now we're getting somewhere. You are now victorious because you have done the only thing that anybody can do to me that will cause me to give up and let you have your way, and that's to say, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. That's good news. Amen. Never give up. It's good news. So here's the children of Israel following Moses out of Egypt. You read the story? Through the desert. How many of you have been to the desert? Was it hot? Was it dry? Were there snakes? Some. Sagebrush? Was there cactus? How about rocks? 7-Eleven? No. Chevron gas station? Nope. Here's the children of Israel following Moses out of Egypt through the desert. Their way became most difficult and hard. So much so that some of the people began to murmur. They began to complain, and they started to revile Moses, God's chosen theocratic representative. That's who Moses was. This rebellion of the volunteers of God's newly formed church family was so bad that God called serpents from the desert to bite the rebellious rebels, and they died. You with me? In every people group where something really goes wrong, typically you have three groups. The rebellious rebels. Okay, she says the mixed multitude, you're right on. You typically have three types. Every church is this way. You have the rebellious rebels, people in the middle that they're not so convinced yet by the rebellious rebels. And then you have the third group that is, well, they're believers. You with me? And I'm not trying to say this church, I'm just saying usually in a big group. So in the wilderness, this giant newly formed church of God has these three types of people. So the first thing that happens is a snake bite the rebellious rebels and they die. Yes, almost immediately. Well, this is definitely a judgment call by God, but he can do that. Why? Well, because he's God and he knows the heart. I don't, but he does. But they died. The rebellious rebels all died. That leaves two people groups left. Those who did not die were given the opportunity to look and live. Goes right along with what we read in Isaiah, doesn't it? If you'll put Numbers 21:8 on the screen, we'll proceed. This is worth looking at. Numbers 21:8, and the Lord said unto Moses, make a what? Make a fiery serpent. Does anybody know what it was made of? Did somebody say brass? Any other type of metal that's close to brass? Because you'll read it in the King James, the NIV, the Clear Word Bible, they might all have a different word. Why the metal brass? Does anybody know? Same reason why Zechariah uses it in chapter 2, the brass horses coming between the mountains, but that's a different sermon. The reason why the serpent is made of bronze, because it's the filthiest metal you can find. You can polish it to glowing, and it'll be filthy in 2 days. It'll just turn back to dull, and it'll get crusty. And it's the filthiest metal you can find. So what does the serpent, the bronze serpent on the pole, represent? It just represents sin. Notice it's not a golden serpent, which represents purity. It's a brass serpent. So God tells to Moses, make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole. We all know it was made of brass. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, that is the two groups that are left, the first rebellious rebels, they're dead. You with me? The two groups that are left, the people in the middle and the people that are dedicated, they're still alive. Some of them probably were not bitten. But the people in the middle are bitten, they're about to die, and Jesus tells Moses, put a serpent on the pole. And everyone that does what shall live? Everyone that will simply, what? Look, would live. This is an amazing text. This is an amazing truth about who God is. Now, back to our text, Isaiah 45:22. Now, if you'll put Isaiah 45:22, we're going to enlarge. Our side note is over. We're going to enlarge on this first point. Isaiah 45:22. And if you'll look at this, it says, look what? Now, you think we've made this point sufficiently, but we haven't. We've only gotten started. And let me say this. You will be studying this text throughout eternity because it's about the crucifixion, it's about the righteousness of Christ, it's about who God is. You and I will be studying this text and everything that's involved around it throughout eternity. I'm absolutely convinced of that. Okay, blank. Many of us, and I'm putting myself in the group, many of us are looking to ourselves. Many of us are looking to ourselves. But as you know, it's a waste of time. Absolute, utter waste of time. I will never find any comfort or saving power in myself. Not one amen. I think you amen. Amen. I will never find any comfort or saving power in myself, ever. The best choice is to surrender to Jesus. Amen. Jesus Christ says, look unto me. Look unto me. I'm sweating great drops of blood. Look unto me. I'm hanging on the cross. Look unto me. I'm dead and buried. Look unto me. I ascend to the heavens. Look unto me. I am sitting at the Father's right hand. My friends, look unto Jesus and live. I'm sorry? I've got 15 minutes and about 10 worth of sermon, so we're going to hear what Jim has to say. Can't stand not preaching.
No, that when the serpent bit and those people still live, they had to look. So that means it's almost naturally that we're born with a poison of sin in us will kill us for sure. And we won't be saved.
Say that again.
By nature, we're born in sin, that poison that will kill us for sure. And only Christ can save us. But I get this picture all at once coming down, seeing this serpent. I've been bit.
Yes.
And now am I willing to look?
Amen.
Now that sounds easy. But the very fact that that poison's in me, and only Christ can take that out at the cross.
Amen. I totally agree with what you're saying. I want to add one thing, can I? Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Pastor. I want to suggest to you, with Jesus' help, looking becomes easy. I don't care how far past being bitten you are, ask Jesus to help you look. You'll remember the guy in the scriptures that said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Jesus will do that. If Eve in the garden would have said, even with the fruit in her hand, if Eve in the garden would have just said, Lord, I don't want to take a bite of this apple. Save me. What would have happened? She would have been delivered. Anybody else have a thought they want to bring out? We got a couple minutes. Sonia does.
When you say somebody can turn and look, think about Helen Keller. She was blind and deaf. And she looked and found Jesus.
Through the eye of the mind, right? Did anybody hear me say the eye of the mind? You can hear about Jesus. Anybody else want to bring something up? I love people's thoughts, especially when I'm preaching, because it gives me some insight. Anybody else? You only get a minute. 1 minute.
I was raised in the Hitler Youth and in Germany. And when I became a Christian, it took me 8 years to understand what was going on. And the text in Isaiah, when I gave a talk, I always said, when it said there is no one but God, I learned and gave up my loyalty to Hitler.
Because he wasn't God. There's only one God. There is no one else. Anybody else? I got plenty of time. Okay. Wayne has a thought. This is valuable, my friends.
Hello. I've been going to Sunday worship for 41 years, and then I came to the Sabbath. And then I've heard the story many times, but you think about it, all we have to do is look at this serpent on the pole, and that brings tears to my eyes because I heard the Hitler Youth going, you know, listen to me, I know the way, and then you go, no, this is not the way, this is the desert, this is death, this is Sunday worship, and this is the Lord going, Sabbath is his day, he created, he wants us to live. And he goes, look at this pole, look at this snake on the pole, and it's like, oh my word, that just brings me to tears. And then connecting with the, her, or the Hitler Youth, that just, the Lord going, this is the Sabbath, you want to know? This is it, right here, it's going to hurt. But I'm going to show you what I did for you. I'm so happy.
And can I just say, without any other doctrine, I know this is going to sound hard, without any other doctrine, the state of the dead, the health message, the Sabbath, righteousness by faith, you name it, without any other message, I'm going to bring it all back to this one thought. Look unto Jesus and live. And when you do that, he brings everything with him. Everything comes with him. It takes time, but remember, the thief on the cross was given it all when he said, Lord, what? Remember me when you get into your kingdom. And Jesus said, done. Right? Done. And the thief's like, but I don't know all the theology. Doesn't matter. I haven't lived a good life. Doesn't matter. You ask me to remember you, done. That's a big amen. That means on my deathbed, having lived a rotten life my whole life, I can say, Lord, I've blown it. Remember me. Done. Here we go. All right. One more thought. One more thought. I have heard this question time and time again. And I'm going to try to answer it. It may not make sense to you, but I'm going to try to answer it anyway. I've had a lot of people throw this back in my face. And I'm going to try to answer it. Because I think it's probably the most important question I've ever heard. And I think it's the most important question we could ever ask ourselves. Why did Jesus have to bleed and die? Why? Why was that so important? Why did it have to be so violent? Why did, if he really was God, did he have to die? It wasn't that necessary. Couldn't he have just told us? Couldn't he have just maybe wrote it out and put it in the mail for me? I mean, why did he have to die, and especially on the cross? Why? People don't understand it. People don't get it. But it's a valid question, so I'm going to seek to answer that. And there's a lot more answers than the one I'm going to give you, but this seemed to me to be the most pertinent. And it's there in Isaiah 45 and verse 23. So let's take a look at it. So I've given you verses 20, 21, 22, and now we're going to look at 23. And I believe this answers that question. We'll read it through. The screen will go blank, and then we'll talk about it. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth, or is gone out of my mouth. It's gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and it shall not return. That unto me every knee should bow, and every tongue shall, and that word swear is the Hebrew word shabbat, and it means to declare. So every knee is going to bow. Now I want you to think about this. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to declare. God really is love. That God really is righteous. That God really is who he says he is. When it's all said and done, when the argument's over and we're sitting in the kingdom and the resurrection of the wicked takes place and everybody in the entire universe is standing looking at the Creator, they're all going to say, "You were right. We were wrong. You're just. We're not." And the righteous are going to say, "Holy, holy, holy." I'm going to continue to have hope in Jesus. Me personally, I'm going to continue to have hope in Jesus because Jesus shed his blood for me. And what that means is, without going too far afield, what that means is, before sin ever entered the picture and there was perfect harmony in the universe, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit said, "Let's create." And they started creating. And the discussion they had before they started creating was, what if one of these intelligent individuals wants to rebel? And the Son and the Spirit said, "That's an excellent question. What should we do?" And the one who called himself the Son, the Word made flesh, said, "I'll die for him." And if that doesn't work, nothing's going to. This is the simplified version. When Jesus said, "I have sworn by myself," it means he swore to die for you and me. You want to know if someone keeps their word? It's Jesus. It's God. It's the Holy Spirit. "I have sworn by myself," 3 in 1, "I have sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and that word will never return until it's accomplished." Never. It will be accomplished. And at the end, everybody's going to say, "God really is love." I'm going to continue to have hope in Jesus because Jesus Christ shed his blood for me. He swore by himself. He spoke the word in righteousness. He kept his word, and the word became flesh, Jesus Christ. And when everyone looks and sees God with their own eyes, they're going to bow down and they're going to declare, "God really is love. God really is righteous." How many of you love the Lord? You don't have to raise your hand. How many of you love the Lord? How many of you really love the Lord? I'm going to give you a text, and it's a personal text between Jesus and you, and you're going to understand what this means because he said this specifically for you. John 14, verse 19, if we can have that on the screen. Jesus starts John 14 with what was just said, "Let not your heart be troubled." But I want you to read verse 19 because it goes along with this theme. John 14, verse 19. Listen to the wording on this. "Yet a little while, and who doesn't see me anymore?" Ah. As Perot would say, ah. The world doesn't, they don't see me anymore. But who sees Jesus? Can somebody say me? Who sees Jesus? Me. And here's what Jesus wants you to understand, because I live, you also are going to live. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for Jesus, for you, for the Holy Spirit that have given everything, literally, to rescue us back to yourself. We thank you for creating us. We thank you for touching our lives. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that continues to minister to us, helping us to understand who you are and your great plan. Help us that we might glorify your name and lift you up. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.